Ah, come on, motherfucker. Come on, sing up. Well, I thought the cricket would speak up, but he's gone to the fucking woodwork, I think.
You have like your entire kind of your own ecosystem in there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I have to open the back door sometimes just to let some of it out.
But even, I mean, it's not even just biological stuff. There's other parts to your ecosystem. I mean, like you were saying before, there's the shadows on the wall. There's your papers in metal filing cabinets.
Yeah, I do cartoons. I'm. Well, this is when I was a kid. I no need to speak great about it, but I was an only child for 10 years, and then my dad remarried, and so on and so forth. But I was an only child, and in our farmhouse, I had my own little room. It wasn't very big, but it was mine. And they didn't bother me there and come in and do fuck all. So all through my childhood, and I had a radio in there. I used to listen to the radio, and I had a table and a pencil and books and stuff. And I would just really amuse myself in there hour after hour. And I found myself very funny. I thought I was a funny guy. And because I would have thoughts in there, I would laugh at them. So that is, if you laugh, it's funny. So, I have my own ecosystem. Pictures of racehorses.
Well, what else is in there?
About 40 pictures of large cats.
Mm-hmm.
Tigers and lions.
Mm-hmm.
And the tigers are in pairs, rolled around together. Happy tigers. And but of course, in my world, the tiger is the symbol of death because it can be on you while you are still thinking about it. And so I've always considered the tiger. No, I like them. I don't have any problem with tigers. I like them a lot. I have much pictures of them. But in terms of my mythological world, which exists somewhere out there in left field. Are you still with us there? He wears his bathrobe in the morning. So, we got your pictures of racehorses, and I got that old marijuana stump my 10-pound plant. I still got that thing hanging up. It covers the laundry. I have four masks that I just washed because you got to have a bunch of masks, it turns out. Well, I have four, but they keep disappearing. They fall out of my jacket or something.
Can you fit your hand around that stump, that marijuana tree, petrified marijuana tree?
No.
So it's
not the bottom.
It's bigger than your hand.
Yeah.
So that's that's one plant?
Yeah, 10 pounds.
10 pounds?
Yeah, well, that's the plant on the cover of my book.
Yeah.
Notebooks on the Emerald Triangle.
Yeah.
That's me standing next to this 10-pound plant. If you look at the picture, if you have it, if you can look at it, I could stand right in the center of that plant because I had, over a period of time all that summer, I had cleaned out the center. There was nothing growing on the inside of the on the limbs. All the power. See, the key of marijuana is tips and tops. That's where your money is. The tops of the plant and the tips of the limbs. You don't need any of that other dross. All it does is it takes food away from the power where you can sell the fucking stuff, and you don't end up with 9 pounds of little wee piss-ass buds that nobody wants. In those days, they sold them, but nobody wants them. But so, so they're not money makers. And your plant, every plant has the maximum amount of marijuana it can produce. and it can they can get to be pretty big if you do it right. But and I knew how to do it right. I grew lots of 7-pound plants. I made money in the marijuana industry. I grew a lot of pot.
Mm-hmm.
But I blew all the money, of course, because we always expected it was going to be the same next year.
Mm-hmm.
fool's paradise. I love it.
You remember
the signs were, huh?
You remember the first joint you smoked?
In New York City. Yeah. Yeah.
What was that like?
All I knew was I was very, very happy. But I was happy in New York anyway. I enjoyed New York City. I had a hell of a time there. But, I don't know. I just got high I was working in this bar on the Annex down in the Lower East Side. In those days, it was a rough area down there. But I was working in the Annex, and I was working with a black guy, Artie. And one night, we used to work till 4 in the morning, and then the bar stayed open till 4 in the morning, and then we'd stay in the back room drinking till 6 in the morning. And then I would hit the street, Avenue B, and at 6 in the morning, it would be daylight, and I'm fucking heading across the park to my apartment, where I walk up 5 flights. And so anyway, one of these times, Artie was walking with me, his head going somewhere, and we're smoking fatty, and I got really fucking high, and I had a wonderful day.
Mm-hmm.
But I never became a smoker there. But I did, through Artie, I was modeling at the art school, which is like Pinotsky's, and I was working at the Annex on the weekends, Friday and Saturday, but, you know, life costs, and I was out drinking beers and stuff and buying breakfast, and you know, I didn't have no kitchen in the apartment, so I had one, I didn't use it. But, you got to have money. So,
you've never been interested in cooking?
No. No, I'm sorry, but to say that no, I don't. It's too bad. I've spent a couple of $1 million just on eating alone my lifetime. I could have been somebody, but no, I could have been a chef, Chef Boyardee. I could wear the stupid hat. They call those things toques, but when I was a kid, a toque was a little wool hat that we wore as young guys in high school. In 1954, 55. The chic thing at Huntsville High School was to have a toque, a wool, little wool hat with a top knot on it that flipped around, made by Biggie West's mother. And so all of us young teenage high school guys, you know, maybe 50, 70 of us, we all wore these toques, and that's what we called them, T-O-U-Q-U-E-S. And I noticed in French cooking that they call their little funny-looking hat a toque. And I just thought it was kind of interesting.
I didn't know.
Apparently not.
No, I didn't know that. I thought a toque was a toque. I think a toque is a Canadian. It must be a Canadian word. I never heard that anywhere else.
Okay, all right. Well, then you might be right there. Because, yeah, interesting. Yeah, Biggie West's mom, she made them. And she made everyone individually. So mine was black with the Iroquois Nation colors were black, red, and blue. So my hat was knitted out in black, red, and blue, the colors of the Mohawks, and had a wolf thing with a big fur, a big ball of wool on the top knot, and you could twirl it around. Young bucks in a small town.
And you'd go skating out on the lake.
Yeah, but not very often because the lake wasn't wind blowing. Normally, a northern Ontario lake is going to have 2 feet of snow on it, and there's no way you're going to clear off any of that stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it gets covered up. But there are lakes, and there are places, like over by Parry Sound, Ontario, where I went skating, was that there are places where the wind keeps the snow away. And one time in Huntsville, only once, we were surrounded by four lakes. One time, the one lake got swept clean. It was just one long lake of ice. And the whole fucking town, everybody in town grabbed their skates and headed out to the ice. So the whole fucking town was out there skating around and doing all their kind of tricks and shit like that. Strutting their stuff, you know?
Wow, beautiful.
Yeah, small town life. I grew up in a wonderful time because I don't become a real creature until like 1941, or six or seven, 1942. But from 1942, we're still living in the 1920s. I mean, those are the mores and the morals and the real life situations that were going on the planet in 1941. It was very, very similar to the 1921. And I was a kid in this kind of time warp situation, because like by 1946, the war is over, and I'm now 11. But the whole thing is changing. After the war, the guys came back from the war. They went to university. They went to colleges and got jobs, electricity, the all electric kitchen, G&E's, electric kitchen, the stove and the fridge. They were peddling all this shit on television in 1947. Electrify, at the CNE, at the Canadian National Exhibition in Toronto. General Electric had a whole kitchen of tomorrow idea, all built on electricity. Well, all this when I was most of my childhood, they cooked on the wood stove, for Christ's sake. So, this was all a wower. But there were some things that stayed the same. The young guys in small towns went to grade 10, and if they got their grade 10. Good, they were out of there because they're now 18, 17 and a half. And if they didn't get their grade 10, they kept trying and trying. Well, it took more than one attempt to get your grade 10. It took me three years to try to get it.
Why is that? Why do you think that is?
Well, we've become bored of the thing. Yeah. We've just become bored with the fucking thing. I used to play hooky. I would go to the home class. In Huntsville High School, the kids changed rooms. Not the teachers. So now, you got all the goddamn school out in the hall at the end of the period, and you could just vanish out the back door and down the hall and then into the woods very, very easily after they took attendance in the morning. So Bill Brown would be marked present, and then off he'd go. I mean, this is the last 2 years of my school. I would go off in the woods, and there'd be other guys out there, and we'd sit around and do shit and go swimming or doing whatever. And then at noon hour, we'd have to come back and mingle with the crowd, with the dummies who were all in the fucking lunchroom. And we're in there, too, the whole squad of us. And I was part of that gang. But, and then I'd show up at exam time in the fucking gymnasium, sit at my seat and look at this.
With a cricket.
Look at this sheet of, huh?
You'd show up with a cricket.
But there's a wonderful Disney song about Jimmy Cricket or something.
You learn more from a cricket in the backwoods of the schoolyard than you could probably sitting in a desk there 8 hours a day for 5 years.
Right, but getting the grade 10 was important, and I understood that, and I got it, and then I was out of there. But I don't know how I got out of that. We were talking about something.
No. Well, I like this idea you said that we're in a wagon. I thought we were on a train. I thought we were on a train that had a course that is fixed on rails and maybe I'm not fast enough for the train. But you said something about a wagon.
Yeah, that's it. We're in a wagon. And not only that, have you ever been in a wagon on a downhill slope?
I don't think I've ever been in a wagon.
Okay. So on a wagon on a little bit of a downhill slope, wagons are difficult to steer if you're sitting in them. The whole, you know what a wagon is. It has a handle at the front and all. And the front wheels turn around, but they turn very sharply. And so if you're sitting in a wagon, like two of us are sitting in a wagon, and we're heading down a little slope, we really have no control over where this thing goes. You got a handle, and you got a steering back apparatus, but it's dangerous to use this thing.
Well, what's pulling the thing?
Huh?
What's it pulled
by? Well, you're just rolling downhill.
Okay.
It's a wagon. It's got wheels on it.
It isn't like a horse-drawn carriage.
No. It's a kid's wagon.
Oh, okay. I was just going to ask, why would you ever be in a wagon?
No, not a large, big old wagon. This is a kid's wagon.
Okay.
Sits two boys, and as kids, we all had wagons. We used them on the hills and stuff. In the wintertime, we had sleds. We go sledding.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the summertime, well, you can't fucking, there's no snow. So we would use our wagons for the same idea. We'd pile in them and roar down these fucking hills, bouncing around and trying to break people's legs. It's precarious.
Uh-huh.
And there's no sense of balance. I mean, it's really out there on the high wire, but you're sitting down and you are under the impression that you're under control because you got the handle in your hand. But if you don't move the thing, you're probably doing fine.
Yeah.
But if you move the fucking handle even an inch, those wheels go on a completely different course than your movement,
mm-hmm.
and momentum tosses you out along with the wagon and upside down to who Schmuckowski is.
Mm-hmm.
But you learn that these are all talents that you learn as a kid. This is why our elders allowed us to be outdoors in the woods all the time, because they knew that we were learning stuff all the fucking time. And only once in a while would somebody break their leg, and never did anybody ever get killed. But we've had some close drowns. We had some times where a couple of guys almost drowned. And I was thrown twice by horses. I mean, thrown right up in the air, and I hit the ground, and all the air was knocked right out of me. And I'm laying there gasping, and people are looking down at me saying, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" No, I'm not fucking okay. I've had the wind knocked out of me, and so twice in my life I went for sailing around. And one time I set my hands on fire. That was a pretty fucking exercise. I've talked about that, in, I think, one of our previous encounters. In any event, as kids, we...
I don't remember this story of you lighting your hands on fire. I think that's something I would remember.
Not a long story. I was about 14, and one of my good buddies from school, who's my I lived on the neighboring farm, his dad, they moved away. They moved over to another side of town altogether. They weren't in the neighbor anymore. But the name is Bobby Main, and Bobby Main lived over there now, but he was still my friend. So I used to bicycle over to his house and visit him. And what they had there was a couple of acres of nothing, scrubby old land, and a sort of tossed together tossed together cabin where they lived with the big old windows. And it was an okay place for them. It was nice. It was okay. And they had, they were doing hard scrabble farming on a couple of acres outside of town. And so I go over to Bobby's, and I'm jocking him out, and we're having a great fucking time out there. It's lunchtime. So everybody that call goes out and everybody who's around the fucking property, they all go in to lunch. You can see them sitting there in the kitchen tables eating. And we're, Bobby and I are still out in the yard because we don't go in yet. And Bobby says, let's steal the tractor. It was parked right there. And so I say, yeah. He says, we can go for a ride. I said, oh, okay. So it was like a 1935 tractor. It had big steel wheels in the back and a big metal seat. It was very tall, and it, but it had rubber tires in the front. But it was an ancient critter. And but when they went off, they left the key in the fucking thing because who was going to take it? So Bobby Maine and I decide that we're going to go for a fucking joyride in the tractor. We're like 11 years old, 12 years old, and we're just starting to feel our oats. And Bobby says, now you get up on the front there and stand on the front tire, and I'm going to get in up on the seat here, and I'm going to turn the key on, and you're going to put your hands over the carburetor to help choke it off or something. So I say, okay, I'll do that. So Bobby gets up into the big old metal seat that you see in antique stores these days, the old tractor seat. Totally fucking uncomfortable, made of steel. And so you sit up there, and Bobby and he's got the steering wheel. He's ready to go, and he's you got to retard the spark. So he's pulled the levers to do that, and he turns the fucking key on, and he's yelling, hold your hands over the carburetor. And so I'm leaning forward over the motor, and I cup my hands, and I put them over the carburetor. The tractor backfires. Bam! And what happens there is this gasoline shoots straight up out of the carburetor onto my fucking hands, which sets them on fire. And I'm this 12-year-old kid standing on the front tire of this fucking tractor, staring at my hands, who are numb. Both of them are fucking on fire. I mean, we're talking nanoseconds here. I mean, we're not talking seconds. We're talking nanoseconds. Bing, 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 bing. So immediately, because I'm a rural kid and I'm fucking smart, and they've warned me about fire because we lived in wood houses with wood fires all the time, was fire needed to be smothered. So while Bobby Maine is turning his head in astonishment, I am sticking my hands under my armpits and smothering the fire out before the gasoline burns through to my hands. So I smother the fucking thing out. I mean, it is amazing.
Wow.
And I take my hands out, and they're not on fire anymore. But the next thing I recall is that I'm still on the front of the tractor. Bobby Maine is still sitting in the huge tractor seat.
Yeah.
And we both turn towards the kitchen window because we want to see if any of the big people inside have seen what just happened here.
Yeah.
And they were all busy clopping them down. So I get off the tire, and Bobby Maine gets out of the seat, and we don't say a fucking word. We don't say nothing. We don't say nothing. And we go into the house very, very quiet, and we get our plates, and we eat whatever's left. But that was and my secret as long as we lived, and I don't think we ever discussed it.
Wow.
I know.
I mean, I know exactly what you said when you mean a nanosecond, but those last forever.
Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, when I go around for the last time, whatever that is, and I meant to talk about the Oasis of Sharma today, but I guess I'm not going to. But whenever that, you know, that's going to be one of the last pictures in the scrapbook of VB.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm never going to forget. There's a few things I'm never going to forget.
Mm.
That's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I was smart. I was fucking smart, man. I saved my ass more than once.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
but in the continent of ghosts, one of the lines in there, which I think is pretty good actually, was how you prepared me for how alert I would have to be without you. And that's in one of the pieces. It's one of the lines in one of the pieces. But I think I've always thought that that's, you know, that because I didn't have a mother, I had to be extremely alert. And I was alert because the fire in the hands thing was just right a perfect example of that. Not that I did it right. I didn't do it right. I did it wrong a lot of times.
Mm.
But that time I did it right.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I wanted to tell you, I checked out your video gallery.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's great.
It's okay.
Yeah. Oh. The two I really liked is you had one about about 10 Mile, and the first one, I guess they were older ones, but it's all good. But it's too far down the page, man. The link.
That's what I thought.
The link, in the middle of the page there, you have all these links. Check out your writing here.
Yeah,
check this out.
Yep.
And then you got to scroll even further. It should be right at the top of the stack.
Yeah. In fact, next time I see Jim, I asked Jim to do quite a few chores the other day.
Uh-huh.
So that, when I... when I asked him, he was helping me, and time was passing, and I thought, well, this is too much to ask him to do that, but no, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Well, I'm going to make that correction. But other than that, we're rolling right along here.
Well, get him to send me those videos if you can.
I will.
And
I'm gonna.
I can put them up somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think the 10 Mile one and the one that Jim shot, I wanted to be a writer so I could be a good reader.
Mm-hmm.
I think those two things are very short, and they might be able to go up on Instagram if we wanted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The thing with the Instagram thing, just talking about this for the moment, is that the little video that we have that shows up there got a lot of hits. People liked it. I mean, they went there a lot on that one, like 80 times as opposed to like 7 times for this or 7 times for that.
No, 130, 140 times. I'm looking at it right now.
Well, so I'm thinking to myself, well, if people are interested in that, why not? You know, I have some short videos. Why don't we just start popping them up there? Why not?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, why not? Would you be interested in doing that?
Oh yeah, no, it's easy for me. Send everything you got. I'll put it up.
All right. Yeah. I got it. Yeah. So where the hell are we here? I have my watch on. Let's just play the music.
Yeah.
We're getting... What time is it, anyway?
We'll get it.
It's noon.
Play us out. Play us off.
Okay. This song?
Sure. Can't get tired of this.
No, you're right. You're right. Anche se l'esistenza m'avveleno, anche se l'esistenza m'avveleno. V
voglio restare sempre a te vicino. Per quella bocca rossa e profumata ci perdo volentieri la mia vita. Ci perdo volentieri la mia vita.
Yeah, I was out of the room there. I got some water.
All right. Well, it sounds almost Indian to me.
Yeah. Yeah. You mean like South Asian or Native American?
Oh, South Asian. I mean, like I said before, I think you can hear the entire history of music in there.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Yeah,
you know what? Go on.
Go. No, I'm just clearing my throat.
You know what's good about that also is that he just has some guy playing the guitar behind him. It's not interesting.
Yeah.
It's not profound. It's not... you know, but because of the quality and of his voice, I mean, it's he'd sound good over anything.
Right. No, whoever put this little package together knew what the fuck they were doing.
Oh yeah.
And yeah. These guys know. It's not a, and so yeah, they. I lucked onto this whole fucking business because it's the soundtrack from the movie Big Night, and it's from that CD. And I got the soundtrack because one of the actors, Tony, one of the actors in the film Big Night, I wanted to hear him or whatever. In any event, I got this, and then I played the fucking thing. I couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I'd heard everything, mm-hmm. but it turns out not really.
Okay, so we're in the wagon then, huh?
Yeah, we're rolling downhill. We have no way to know to steer. We don't know which fucking direction we're going to go. Are we going to be heading towards the sandbox? We're going to be sailing over there towards the swings, which the wind is moving back and forth and could be dangerous. It'd knock off one of our heads.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we're on our way. We're on our way. Hallelujah, bro. All things have the beginning and have an end.
Okay. All right. So I'll call you tomorrow morning then.
Yeah. You're going to do it at 10 o'clock? Is that a good one?
Or what?
9:30 is better for me.
Oh, is 9:30 good for you? I can do 9:30.
Yeah. Well, I'm closer to the edge of night.
Yeah. Well, I'll probably be... 10 minutes late. So why don't I say 9:20 and then I'll be there at 9:30?
Yeah, it's all fine. I set the thing up 15 minutes beforehand and I sit in my chair and look out the window and try to sing our little songs. Let me just go there once again. We opened with my bathrobe song. Let's close with it. On here now. Oh, there we go. I got her.
My bathrobe in the morning. I wear my bathrobe all day. I wear my bathrobe to the bridge club. they've asked me to stay away. I wear my bathrobe in the morning, wear my bathrobe all day. I wore my bathrobe to the bridge club. They've asked me to stay.
All right. So tomorrow's another day, okay?
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
All right. Then you have a good night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay. Give my say hello to regards. Say hello to Judy for me.
I will for sure.
Yeah.
I will for sure. Well, I just want to say that she listened to these things also, the things that you sent me, and she thought they were terrific also.
Well, so, tell her she's going to be next.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not kidding. Yeah.
We're going to have her on next.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I won't deliver that news yet, though. It's a little premature.
And then get this. Then we're going to have my dad talking to her, and then we're going to have my mom talking to you. And we're going to have Judy talking to the dog.
Right. Oh, yeah, me talking to the cat.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
And then we're going to have...
That sounds like a plan.
Then we're going to have me talking to the cricket. That's what I'm waiting for.
Well, we cannot schedule... We only have to pencil the cricket in because
Okay.
He's not on call.
Oh, he's not in the wagon then, you're saying?
Well, he's one of the spirit world.
Okay.
He's invisible, but he's present, and he does speak when he's got something to say.
Okay, so we're not going to be waiting around for him tomorrow morning, then.
We don't know if he's going to show up. It turns out, if I start generating electricity here in my room just through my own activity, brain power...
Yeah.
He seems to join in.
Okay.
He seems to be attracted by the electricity. But once again, I haven't been able to bring him forth on cue, so to speak.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we don't speak his language. Well, we'd have to record his song and play it back to him, maybe, and then... You ever thought about that?
Uh-huh.
But this is the menace of mechanical music. This is what we don't want. You can't reproduce. He probably won't even recognize a thing because it's not sound he's putting out.
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't know what it is he's putting out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a mystery to me.
Yeah.
I'm just enjoying whatever value there is in the rhythm.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
yeah,
so...
Yeah, but he's... I'm hunting for him, and I can't seem to find him.
Probably just as well. We'll pencil him in for tomorrow morning, 9:30.
Okay.
Okay, Phil.
All right, then.
Yeah, goodbye.
All right, have a good night, then.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.